let's talk about the truck pricing and maybe do some ceiling projections and then an optimal lineup. This really is myself doing research and talking to myself and trying to learn things as I go. I don't know how informative or beneficial it will be for you, but I know it's going to benefit me to just simply go through these drivers, look at their prices, maybe look at the numbers, and continue to familiarize myself with the teams and their results from last year. You can get the truck series sheet for $5 at raceforthepryse.com, dfsnotes.com, or if you want all the sheets, just $12. So you save yourself a couple bucks there, or you can save yourself a lot of bucks if you buy the Atlanta and the whole month of March for $43. It's almost half price. You can also go season long if you want. Again, raceforthepryse.com, dfsnotes.com. Send me an email, send me a payment, give you access to the sheets. You got to have it. I don't know if there's anyone else that's got a truck sheet out there. So if you want to play fantasy NASCAR trucks and you really want to enjoy what's going to be a very exciting Atlanta race, I guarantee it, and you want to have DFS going on at the same time, the sheet's really going to help you out with these drivers, with these names that are probably foreign to you, because they're slightly foreign to me, and I'm a guy who's been watching the truck series. So we look at the pricing. Kyle Busch, $1,500. I said on the podcast a couple days ago, I expected him to be $1,400. $1,500, kudos to DraftKings, really pushing the issue. And if you are an OG and you played DFS NASCAR trucks at race day score in 2016, it was, they always did this. When Kyle Busch was in the truck series, he basically bankrupted you and you were living the double punt life. You had to do it because he is such a hog. He's going to lead laps. He is going to run fast laps. You look at last year and he absolutely crushed the scoreboard. He didn't so much the year before that, but you also have to realize that Christopher Bell was in that race in a very speedy very speedy Kyle Busch Motorsports car. Truck. They are truck, Spears. Second highest price is a huge drop down at $11,300. Brett Moffitt, your defending champion, and he's no longer with Hattori Racing, but he's with GMS, and GMS was your second place team. Then you got Johnny Sauter, who at $10,900 is the car that was in that GMS car that almost won the championship but lost to Brett Moffitt. He is now with Thor Motorsports, and they've got five cars in the field. Ben Rhodes, I believe, is also with Thor. Got to double check that $10,400. Stuart Friesen, $10,100. Todd Gillen, $9,700 for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Kind of a sleeper, I kind of like. Matt Crafton at 9-4, also with Thor Motorsports. Ross Chastain, he's with Nice. Grant Infinger, Thor Motorsports, $8,900. Austin Hill, $8,700. Austin Hill is the pay-to-play guy that stole Brett Moffitt's ride, and then Brett Moffitt stole Johnny Sauter's ride. But hey, pay-to-play seems to have worked out. Austin Hill got himself a Daytona win for Hattori, and Hattori picking up right where they left off. I don't know how much credit you can give to him. He survived everyone else. That truck race, I drove from Greensboro to Cleveland and thought there was no way that race was still going to be on by the time I reached Cleveland, and it was. So I rushed in the house and I handed the baby off, threw it, and I was supposed to go in and meet the new baby, my niece. I was like, kind of want to watch the end of this race. So I dumped everything off, ran downstairs, and grabbed a beer, and we watched the end of the race because they were just kind of turning the laps meaningless. It's kind of fun. It's crazy. So we've got Harrison Burton in the Kyle Busch Motorsports car, $8,500. That's not a bad price. That's interesting because remember I said in an earlier podcast, I'm really just looking for top 10s, and that's definitely a top 10 car at an affordable price. Again, Timothy Peters for Nice Motorsports as well, $8,300. Again, I'm looking for a top 10 at the cheapest value possible because Kyle Busch, $1,500. I've got to lock him in. Don't care. In my lineup optimization, he's going to be locked in. No problem going 100%. If you're building 20 lineups, then yeah, I could see fading him in some of them. But for my money, if I've got 10 truck lineups, I'm pretty sure he's going to be in all 9 of my truck lineups. And if I've got 20 truck lineups, he's going to be in almost 90% of them. That might be too much. Maybe I dial that back when I see practice or I think more about the game theory of it, because Kyle Busch has run into issues at Atlanta the last 2 years. But man, I don't care about the price. Kyle Busch right now reminds me a lot of James Harden in NBA DFS with Chris Paul out. It doesn't matter what the price is. He's getting 70 points a game. You play James Harden. Kyle Busch at 1,500. I don't care the price. You jam him into your lineup because he can lead laps and run the Hulk points. Right now, I'm throwing him in at 35. Now, you can play around with this, too. Remember, I don't do tout picks. I don't do projections. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't do articles. But in the spreadsheet, because I'm playing around and I'm trying to build my own lineups, I just put the numbers in so you can see the numbers where I project. They're not really hard science. They're very loose. They're very liberal. I try not to be conservative. I want to open things up as much as possible. And I'm giving Kyle Busch a first-place finish. No one else a first-place finish. You'll know that in the Xfinity podcast, I gave a couple people possible contenders at first place. And there are possible contenders, but I feel so certain that Kyle Busch is going to take those 46 finishing position points, that he is the only guy that I've got. But you can download the sheet to your drive once you pay for it, and you can put in your own numbers and get your own projections, and you'll get your own individual lineup optimizations. I'm giving him 35 hog points, folks. Christopher Bell got more than that 2 years ago, but that's about what Kyle Busch got last year, and he pretty much didn't lead a lap. Well, he didn't lead a lap in stage one. He still got 35 hog points. That's giving him 81 fantasy points. So $1,500 for 81 fantasy points, that's fine. That's going to get the job done, especially if he sucks up all the hog points, and then we don't really have a whole bunch of movers and shakers in terms of place differential because it's a truck series. The guys that finish inside the top 10 probably are going to start inside the top 10, and the same for the guys around the top 20. Sheldon Creed at $7,800, that seems way too cheap. Who specifically is Creed racing for this year? Is it, I got to look this up because I know he's in the top tier. Yeah, GMS, there it is. So Sheldon Creed at GMS at that price, I got to believe, and I'm giving him a fifth place finish, probably a little high, but he's at least a 10th place car at $7,800. I'm going to go ahead and assume that he's going to find himself into my optimization. Parker Kligerman, 8,100, not really on a big team, but he gets the most out of his cars, can sneak his way into the top 10, don't really love it. I'd much rather have Sheldon Creed. Jesse Little, 7,900 for JJL Racing, that's basically his team. They got a top 10 at Atlanta last year, didn't they? Or did they finish 15th? No, they finished 8th last year at Atlanta. I got to make a note real quick. John Hunter Nemechek. I've got to fix John Hunter Nemechek's name in the spreadsheet. One of the crazy things about doing these spreadsheets is everyone puts different names for everybody, and if the names aren't all the same, they don't populate the data the same. And so some people, it's John Hunter Nemechek. Some sites, it's John H. Nemechek. And then the crazier ones are like Darrell Wallace Jr., Darrell Wallace, comma Jr., Darrell Wallace, comma Jr., period, Bubba Wallace. And everyone's using different names. There really isn't a system or one unified name. You have to put it into your code to have this stupid stuff adjusted, and I got to fix John Hunter Nemechek on the Xfinity sheet. That just popped into my head. Sorry, you don't really need to hear that. Austin Wayne Self running for Tim Self. They might be Nice Motorsports. I got to look a little bit closer. I know last year he ran for Nice Motorsports. I don't know if that still is there. I got to look closer into that 7,600. He's a possible top 10 driver. He finished 15th and 16th in his last two Atlanta races. He may work his way in. Gus Dean is running for, and I put all the stuff in the spreadsheet, actually. If you look at 18 results, not only can you look and sort based on driver, but you can also sort based on team, which I think is very beneficial. All right, so that's not helping me. Who's Gus Dean racing? And I'm sorry, people, like, why am I listening to you search around for people? It's a learning experience for me, guys. You're just going to have to deal with it. Gus Dean's with Young Motorsports. Young Motorsports wasn't half bad last year. If I look at Young Motorsports and I look at their 18 results, let me sort this. And what do you think? Young Motorsports, probably not a team that jumps out at you. Young's Motorsports, by the way. Yeah, we know Kyle Busch. We've been familiar with Nice because I'm mentioning it a lot now. We know Hattori. We know GMS. We know the big teams, a DGC, Crosley, Gilliland's team. But what about this team, Young's Motorsports? And if I look at Young last year, Austin Hill raced for Young last year before he bought his ride. An average finish of 16th. That's pretty decent for this team that we thought's kind of underfunded. And then from there, it's really a lot of part-time work. Tanner Thorson, yeah, got a decent amount of work. On his good races, he was 15th, and then he wrecked out of some of them, but halfway decent. And then we have a couple like Tyler Dipple did a pay-for-play. Tyler Young obviously did a pay-for-play. I don't think he really had to pay for that. Dizdeer is French. Don't know anything about him. Fogelman, Reed Wilson, for the most part, they're around the 15th to 25th place car. So Young's Motorsports, not really that bad. Obviously, Austin Hill used it to propel himself to the top. So now we got Gus Dean in that car at 7,400. I don't mind it so much. I don't mind it so much at all. Anthony Alfredo, this is an interesting guy. I talked about this on Twitter. You saw my tweet about Alfredo. And I'm going to use the Fredo Godfather GIF just about every, you know, Godfather 2 GIF, every opportunity that I get. I cannot. It was Godfather 2, wasn't it? Was it Godfather 2 where it broke his heart? And because I know at the end of Godfather 1, that's where they do go to Vegas and they shoot the guy. Is it Godfather 1 or Godfather 2? Things happen so fast in that movie. Boy, not knowing this is probably going to really upset someone because you got to know all the Godfather stuff. I think it was Godfather 2. Because I remember they kill the guy. They shoot the guy in the eyeball, the Vegas guy, at the end of Godfather 1. And would they have done that? Yeah, no, it was Godfather 2. Who cares? Someone cares, and I guarantee they're yelling at me like, "You idiot! It's Godfather 2! Everybody knows it's Godfather 2! Where he breaks his heart, and he kisses him, and then he ends up, I think they kill Fredo. I can't even remember. And now someone's probably really losing their minds. Guys, I don't have time to go back and watch these Godfather movies. And I know they're great movies, and I've seen them once upon a time. And I would like to watch one now, but my life is now consumed with NASCAR spreadsheets. But anyway, Anthony Alfredo, he did get a win in the K&N series where he led one lap. And I was looking at the racing reference and thought, well, that's funny. He wins the race and leads one lap at Sobo, which another thing embarrassing. I lived in Danville for years, and I live in Greensboro. Again, not very far. I've never once been to Sobo. I played disc golf outside of the track once, and I heard him practicing. But I've never gone to the track. It's embarrassing. I should go. But a lot of times, years ago, past, I just would rather sit at home and play video games. Terrible to say that out loud, but it's the truth, guys. Someday I'm going to go to Sobo. Anyway, he wins at Sobo, leads the last lap. That seems weird. So I looked at the comments in the Racing Reference. Again, a thing that I think everyone should always check out is the comments at Racing Reference. You can get some information that you may not be aware of. Apparently, Alfredo just completely 100% dumped the leader on the last lap and won the race. Pretty dirty dog style. Now, Matt Weaver chimed in and said, oh, but the guy's got two wins in the car series. So he does have two wins at the short track in Hickory in the late models. And possibly running late models may help him in the truck series. The guy's only 18 or 19 years old. Who knows? The DGR or DGC Crosley, DGR Crosley, David Gilliland Racing Crosley cars, trucks are not that bad. They're fine. They're 15th to 20th place cars, maybe a top 10 car. And he's been fine. His numbers in the car series were decent. His numbers in the K&N series were decent. 7,300. He ran for Junior Motorsports, by the way, in that car series. So if Junior had him in that late model car, clearly believed in him. And Junior doesn't put idiots in the cars. So 7,300. I'm leaning towards Anthony Alfredo being a favorite play this week. And of course, when he wrecks Saturday night and something bad happens, we can load up the GIF about, you know, I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. Get ready for those. You're going to have a season-long. I'm going to find other Fredo quotes, too. Maybe I'll go with Alf quotes, too. It doesn't matter. Or GIFs. Alpha GIFs and Fredo GIFs coming your way. Truck Series all season long. Tyler Dipple, 7,100. Who's he racing for this weekend? I know I mentioned that he was with Young Motorsports last year. This week, we get the Dipster with, I'm assuming it's probably, yeah, it's Young's Motorsports again. That's fine. I think I've got him projected at 15th place ceiling. That's probably a little high, but I don't mind it. Natalie Decker for DGR Crosley, or is it DGC Crosley? I probably should know that. That's a little bit more embarrassing, too. You're supposed to know if it's DGR. I want to say it's DGR, because that would mean like David Gilliland Racing dash Crosley. Yes, DGR. Okay. No, I can't promise you that I'm not going to make that mistake again in the future. Decker was fine in the ARCA series. She was a 15th to 10th place driver, and she's going to get into a decent Toyota. I could see her going 15th place at 6,500. Her and Alfredo are plays that I like and the value in. And we're going to need to find a lot of value to get Kyle Busch in our lineups. Clearly, we want to see how practice goes. If Decker looks like a flaming pile of garbage in practice, then yeah. And she was a flaming pile of garbage in the Daytona. She caught on fire within a lap. Now, I didn't get to watch it happen. I was listening on the radio. And on the radio, they described like a team member just pulls her out of the car like they're saving her life. And I had to visualize it, you know, because radio is the theater of the mind. And so the car catches on fire, and then like this heroic crew, this big masculine, big bulky man jumps over the wall and in this fire suit and rips her from the jaws of death. I don't know if that's really what happened. It may have been really nothing at all, but that's what happens when you listen to races on the radio. Josh Room or Ream, again, admittedly, in the Xfinity podcast, all I know about this guy is he completely messed the Atlanta race up last year. He could do it again this year. Brendan Poole was pretty good for Chip Ganassi Racing for a while there when he was doing the DC Solar 42 car. He was, I don't know, he's about like Blake Koch Light. Blake Koch and Brendan Poole, if they were both in the same room. I mean, I know visually what they do, but statistically, I couldn't tell you the difference between the two guys. Jordan Anderson, Nemechek, Boyd. These are guys that could finish anywhere between 15th and 25th. We have to wait and see on practice. And unfortunately, we may end up rostering some of these guys based on salaries. I should mention probably the teams that they're racing for. Maybe that would help us out. Well, Nemechek's obviously with himself. Anderson is obviously with himself. Brendan Poole might be on a very small team that worries me. Let me look that up. I think that's what I noticed the first time I went through. Yeah, he's on a team that I'm not really sure. Stephen Lane, I couldn't really... Is that On Point Motorsports? Actually, so On Point Motorsports wasn't terrible last year. He raced... Stephen Lane is On Point Motorsports. And if I look up On Point, there was something that impressed me a little bit about them last year. Who was it that was racing for On Point? Let's flip through here. On Point last year, Austin Theriault had an 8th place finish at Las Vegas. Brendan Poole finished 15th at Texas and 19th at Homestead. Not terrible. Wendell Chavitt. No, that's it. So the On Point had a couple races last year in the playoffs. Well, not maybe not the playoffs, but the very end of the season from Las Vegas on with Theriault and Poole with an 8th and a 15th and a 19th. That's not bad. A top 20 from Poole. So I'm not so much worried about the team, but what's Poole's price? $7,000. $7,000 for a possible top 20. That's probably not going to get it done if I'm spending up for Kyle Busch. Spencer Boyd. Who is Boyd racing for? Boyd was kind of hit or miss in the Xfinity series. I'm getting Spencer Davis and Spencer Boyd mixed up, too, every once in a while. So I apologize about that. Boyd is going to be with... I'm going to guess Young. Just it seems like Young's... Yep, there it is. Young Motorsports. So, what, 25th to 20th possibly here. Corey Roper is with Corey Roper, and Corey Roper last year, I want to say he was halfway decent. I got a 13th at Dover, an 18th at Gateway, and then some mid-20s, and then a 17th at Homestead, and nothing really crazy. Norm Benning, 25th place race car. Jennifer Jo Cobb, a 28th to 30th. Ray Ciccarelli is going to be back towards the back. BJ McLeod is in a car that I think will park. Travis Quapel is in a car that I think is going to park or not do anything. What did I say about Chad Finley? I know Bobby Gerhardt's not even in the race. And then Chad Finley is racing for... So again, with BJ McLeod probably not playing him, and Travis Quapel also. Chad Finley racing for Jeff Finley. Chad Finley racing. I got to imagine they're going to try it. 5,300. It seems like they're going to give it a shot. Last year he finished, what am I getting here? He finished 6th at Chicago. Is that real? Is this real life? That can't be right. Because then he finished 30th at Bristol, 32nd at Martinsville. Well, we got to look that up. What's the deal? How did Chad Finley finish 6th at Chicago? No possible way, especially considering he's a small team and everything else, he finished 30th. But we'll look it up real quick, and then I'll go through real quick ceiling projections, which are very loose considering my limited knowledge of exactly what's going to happen to the trucks, especially since we haven't seen practice. And then we'll see what the optimization kicks out. You can do this on your own, obviously, if you go to racefortheprize.com, dfsnews.com. Send me $5, get the sheet, get the trucks. Or maybe you want Xfinity this week. Maybe you want all three for $12. That's a deal.
But it was only $2 last week.
That was last week. This is this week. The world continues to move ahead. So when he got that sixth place finish at Gateway, it did happen. And it was for Jeff Finley. He was racing in the same car that he's in. I got to look closer at this and see if it was some late race restart nonsense. And we get a green-white shootout at the very end. So he definitely benefited from that. Let's see what his old average running position was. For Mr. Finley, his average running position was 13th. That's not terrible. 13th is not terrible. He benefits at the end. He raced pretty well at Gateway. Got to give him some credit. Maybe he's a hometown kid from St. Louis. I don't know. At 5,300, he going to put Finley on the board. Now, someone's out there saying, oh, God, you said that about Robbie Lyons last week. You looked at the spreadsheet and you liked Robbie Lyons and that guy. Well, guess what? Everybody wrecked in the truck race, so back off a little bit. I got a tweet. A guy was tilting Robbie Lyons. I would have been tilting Robbie Lyons right there with you, but by the end of the race, there really wasn't Robbie Lyons tilt because they all wrecked. He wrecked a little bit early, so yeah, that smarted a little bit. But it looked good in the numbers. But here we are again, admittedly. I kind of like what we see with Chad Lyons finishing sixth, but also Chad Lyons finished 30th at Bristol and 32nd at Martinsville. But again, those are two really tricky racetracks. I'm assuming Chad Finley is a young kid. Might as well pull him up. And for a young kid, born in 1992, so he's not that young, but he doesn't have a lot of experience. Only a handful of races under his belt. Decent amount of ARCA races, but you look at his last year, he raced at Gateway, he raced at Daytona, and then his worst finishes were Bristol, a tough track, and Martinsville, an incredibly tough racetrack. I can make sense of why those are so bad and why Gateway was halfway. Why am I saying Gateway? It should be Chicago. This is Chicago, by the way, not Gateway. I got to double check that. His good race was at Chicago, which is an intermediate track, which is where we are this week. And what in the world? I got to look in the sheet. I think I got a mistake in the sheet. Oh, boy, someone's going to get mad at me now. Yeah, it looks like it was at Gateway, but my spreadsheet is saying Chicago. Got to fix that. Got to fix that immediately. Anyway, I'll get into that. Let's do... Write that down, John Hunter Nemechek, fix the Chicago thing. I'm glad I looked into that. Not that it really matters at this point, but it will matter eventually. You got to fix those things. So, projection-wise, let's give Busch a first. Moffitt 2, Sauter 2, Rhodes, Friesen 3s, and we'll go 5s for a bunch of people. These guys, and it's just ceilings. It's very liberal. Not really, just barely, I don't even know why I'm saying this out loud, but anyway. 5, Gilliland, Crafton, Chastain, Enfinger, Hill, Harrison Burton, Timothy Peters, Shelton Creed. I think that's all reasonable ceiling for all of those guys. Kligerman, 10th, and then I'll give that to Jesse Little, Austin Wayne Self, Gus Dean, and Anthony Alfredo. Might be a little high there on Alfredo, but even if I dip him down to 15, I think he's still going to end up at my optimal. Speaking of dips, Dipple 15, Decker 15. I don't mind either of those. Maybe a little high with Dipple, but you know, Randy Young, Motorsports hasn't been bad. And then I'm giving 20s to see now 20 through 30. I got no clue what I'm doing. I'm gonna be completely honest with you, folks. Ream, Poole, Anderson, Nemechek, Boyd, Roper. Benning, Jennifer, Joe Cobb. Well, the Roper 20th, and then 25th for Benning, 27th Joe Cobb, Ciccarelli 27, McLeod 28, Quapel 28. I'm just putting in numbers here at this point. Finley 30. Now I could definitely bump 30. Let's put Finley at 25. What do you say? Because I think that's very reasonable. I could even go a little bit higher, but I'm not going to. We'll leave him at 25. Bobby Gerhardt. I got him at 33. He's not in the race. Let's run an optimizer and see what we get here. I've got Kyle Busch locked in, and let's see what this spits out. And while that's happening, I'm going to think to myself about, oh, I need to finish Hunter Nemechek, and I need to fix that Chicago little bit of a mistake of misaligned cells there, and that'll be good. Oh, he's got mistakes in his sheet. I'm not going to spend $5 for it. That's fine. That is fine. If you think that I'm perfect and I don't make mistakes, then you are listening to the wrong podcast. I clearly make mistakes, and I'm juggling around a bunch of numbers. And the way that it normally works is I catch them, and I continue to finalize and perfect the sheet as we go. I add stuff, but I also mess stuff up in the process, and I catch new things, I add new things. It is a living, breathing, organic spreadsheet. It is never final. It is never static. If you've used a spreadsheet in the past, you personally know that this thing has changed year by year. If you use this sheet back when I used to post it in the Rotor Grinders forums, if you're that old, or if you go way back to the Daily Fantasy Radio days where I had the original sheet that looked nothing like this, those were some days. Almost everything was manually entered into that baby. Wowzers. That was old school. Back when I was living in Rocky Mount, Virginia, if anyone's ever been around those parts. Not too far from Roanoke. All right, so here's what we got. Kyle Busch locked in, obviously. Then I got Timothy Peters. Then I got Sheldon Creed. Gus Dean. I don't know about that Gus Dean pick, but whatever. Anthony Alfredo. And then Natalie Decker at 6,300. So I don't end up going down to Chad Finley. I'm kind of surprised. Let's bump in Chad Finley to 22nd, and let's see if he ends up in the optimal. So there it was again. It was no surprise, Kyle Busch, Timothy Peters for Nice Motorsports, Told you a top 10. It's basically giving me the cheapest possible top 10 driver there. Again, Sheldon Creed at 7,600. Again, the cheapest possible. Well, top five. Remember, I have Peters and Creed possibly as top five drivers. Then Gus Dean and Anthony Alfredo. It's giving me the best possible top 10 driver, or the cheapest possible top 10 drivers. I could see getting off Gus Dean and rather having Austin Wayne Self in that situation. Do I have the money to do it? Of course I do. I actually have $1,000 left on the table in this Saturday. Wow. So putting Chad Finley at this may not even put Chad Finley in here. I've got $1,000 left on the table. That's very strange. Again, I don't have place differential, and I did put all the hog points for Kyle Busch here in the optimizer. You can mess around with it however you want. If you buy the spreadsheet and you save it to your drive, you can run the optimizer, and there's a link in the spreadsheet to show you how to run the optimizer, but you don't have to do anything. It's already pre-programmed. You just open it up and hit boom, solve. But if it ever messes up, I've got an instructional video to show you how to make the thing work. So it's running, it's doing all of its mathematical equations, and again, I'm reminding myself, Hunter Nemechek, and I got to fix that Chicago thing really quick. So here it is, it spits it out, and we are getting the exact same lineup. And so that's cool. All right, thanks for joining me. Positive reviews on iTunes. If you got any questions, send them to me. If you want to listen to old podcasts, you can either go to my website or go to TuneIn Radio or use the TuneIn Radio app. Otherwise, Stitcher and iTunes are just going to give you the new stuff. Spotify is just going to give you the new stuff. So you can listen to this infomercial as I direct you to the spreadsheet. Again, disclaimer, I am not a tout, and I am not your tout. I do appreciate you guys leaving positive reviews. I do appreciate when you guys say positive things about me on Twitter and when you spread the word. Let me spread the word here. A guy that always says good things about me and promotes me is Dan Villanueva. I don't know if I'm saying that right. You guys may know him as Llama Trainer. Llama Trainer is... I believe he's with Awesomeo, or he's one of the guys in the Slack chat at Awesomeo, previously at FanVice. He's part of that community. He's with Phil and those guys. Actually, I don't know if he is or isn't, but I know that's how I came to know him. But what I want to say is he always does a Periscope where he talks about picks. So if you add him on Twitter, and I'm sure he'll tweet something out, possibly. But if you look for him, Llama Trainer, I don't know exactly what his Twitter handle is. Imagine if you type in Llama Trainer, NASCAR, something's going to come up. And he does a Periscope where he asks questions and he does his own little review show. I won't say little. He does his own review show. So you should check that out. It's free. It's a fun little thing if you want to stop saying little. I don't mean it that way. I just mean it like he's the only guy doing it. Like he is doing his thing and whatever. You're just digging the hole deeper, man. Yeah, I probably should just get out of here now. See ya.